G'day mate, hello there my beautiful emerald, hashtag parent power, Vina V here, the founder of Mum to Millionaire. I am the mum of a extremely hyperactive child, and I also love to help you to get more confident and creative with making your very own YouTube videos. This is the conclusion of Dad Season. Four amazing dads we've had. Go and listen back to previous episodes. This guy finishes it off in style. He is going to give you so many techniques, so many tactics. I shouldn't really use the word tactics and techniques, but it just sounds cool, alliteration and all that. If you're struggling with imposter syndrome and you just feel like, what am I doing in my life? Should I be here? Like, why do people believe me when I charge them this much money and all this kind of stuff? This episode is for you. It's just so damn interesting. Your mind is going to be blown by the end of this. I'm not going to talk too much now because there's just so much to get through. We cover a hell of a lot in this. So you might actually need to listen to this podcast episode a few times. And I actually highly suggest you do, because the more you listen to stuff like this, you can change your mindset. You can change the way you think and start living a life of happiness and positivity. It sounds cheesy, but it's actually not. Why are we alive if we're not going to be happy and positive every day? Right, without further ado, let's get straight into this. This is the 76th episode of the Mum to Millionaire podcast.
MumToMillionaire.com.
But you are going to love this guy. He's a coach, he's a speaker, he's a dad of two, and something extremely interesting, he's a hypnotherapist. So we're going to learn more about that, exactly what it entails, and how this guy can actually help you in your life. He's amazing. His name is Chris Richards. Woo! Woo, 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 woo. I love it how you did that for yourself. I was like, yeah, woo!
The crowd go wild.
Chris, you look great for someone who's got a seven-month-old.
Thank you very much. It's entirely fueled by coffee and caffeine, copious amounts. Thank you.
I always think about those days when my son was 6 months old, and that was the first time he started sleeping, when he was 6 months old. So you're still through that phase, aren't you, of having those nights where there might be a slight hiccup and the baby wakes up.
Absolutely. Although it's not massively bad. We've got it down to a nice 4 or 5 hour gap now, so it's getting better.
That is very good. I think 5 hours, 4 hours of solid sleep. That's all we need as parents to survive. Yeah. This is going to be such an interesting podcast, and I think it's much needed. And we've never covered this on the podcast before. And it's about imposter syndrome. Now, a lot of mums that listen to the podcast, or just mums who I see and dads I see in general, there's kind of two things. They either think, oh goodness, I could never do X, Y, and Z. I could never do what you do, a lot of people say to me. And the second one is, even when they've achieved something, they're very much, oh, I don't know if I can continue doing this, or they just feel a bit of a fraud. So we're going to talk about that in this podcast. Before we do, and before you give your amazing tips to all of us, what exactly is a hypnotherapist, and how do you help people? Because I've seen some of your videos where it looks like, obviously I'm very naive now in what I'm saying to you, but it looks like people are obviously just sleeping. How does that help them become more confident and just really kind of go for their dreams and goals? Teach us all about, you know, these amazing techniques that you're using.
Well, I'd like to joke first of all that at least they're well rested.
Nice little sleep.
So many entrepreneurs and business owners don't really get that. If they have children, especially not. But even the ones without children tend not to sleep ever, and never kind of switch on. So that's always a large part of what I help people with. But no, okay. So they do look like they're asleep.
Yeah.
The way that I'd like to describe their mindset is actually that you and I and everyone else has been hypnotized many, 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 many times. Mm. Not in an overt way. It's a natural state of the mind to be. So it's things like, have you ever been in a conversation with someone? and you've been really in the conversation, let's say it's in a public place, and you're really in the conversation, and let's add something to it. So you're in a public place in a party where other people who you know and who know you are in the area. Yeah. And then someone says your name.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of click out of it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, someone said my name over here. And same thing goes when the drivers of the listeners or watchers, the drivers driving along and you're kind of just dazed out, and then someone puts on their brakes too soon or too late or too suddenly. And you snap out of it.
Yeah.
And again, watching a movie, same idea. What you're snapping out of is the state of hypnosis.
Right, okay.
In its most basic form, hypnosis is very, very simply your conscious analytical mind
mm-hmm.
getting moved to one side and your subconscious being allowed to run the show.
Right, okay.
Now, that may sound like a really scary thing to a lot of people.
Like, yeah, I think most people might be
I'll be out of control. No, you won't. You're not out of control when you're driving the car or having a conversation or watching a movie. You're not out of control. The truth of the matter is, I like to say that the subconscious mind is the quiet genius. The conscious mind is the very loud idiot.
Yeah,
the conscious
that's a good analogy.
The conscious mind is the one where you try to think about your drinking a drink and breathing at the same time as trying to sit down, and you kind of forget how to breathe, sit down and drink, and you end up choking on the floor in the fetal position. It's just it all goes wrong. Because the conscious mind can only think of one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Now with women, because your minds are beautiful and wonderful and amazing.
Love how you put that.
Absolutely. Your minds are wired ever so slightly differently, generally speaking. So you can switch focus a lot quicker.
Right, okay.
But imposter syndrome, really, they may not talk about it, but you'll be able to see the signs.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So things like not asking for help.
Yeah.
That is a symptom of imposter syndrome. Someone who doesn't want to ask for help. Someone who doesn't want to ask for help generally is afraid that if I ask for help, what does that say about me?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a symptom. Like I say, generally it could be a symptom of something else, but it can quite easily be a symptom of this. There's a lot of crossover when it comes to psychology.
Mm.
Let's see. Not asking for help. Going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone who is absolutely must be seen as the best this, the best that. Has to be seen as the professional one.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of this can come back to imposter syndrome.
Wow, I'd never thought that.
Well, if they're always going above and beyond, not just for the sake of giving great value, but if it's like, I have to prove this to people. I have to prove that I'm worthy of this position.
Yeah.
The main problem is you are analyzing yourself in comparison to others. That is the main problem. So it all comes back to sort of self-image. And will I be found out? And if I'm found out, what will be the repercussions?
Someone who's listening to this right now, watching this, and they are feeling like literally they're nodding with you like this, everything you've just explained. What is there a starting block? How can people stop thinking like that?
Okay, excellent question. The starting step that I would recommend. I love mindfulness based cognitive therapies. That's another type of therapy that I love to use. This therapy that's based in self-awareness.
Yeah.
Understanding and being very aware of your thoughts and understanding that they are just thoughts.
Yes.
Interestingly, it's also the same space that I'd use for perfectionism or anxiety or any number of different things. What is the thought you're having that's causing you the problem?
Yeah.
I did a post earlier today about three words that always come up with a client every single time. I don't know if you saw it. Every single time I sit down with a client, three words come out every single time when you dig in and dig in and dig in and you say, well, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Eventually you get, I don't know.
Mm.
And when that happens in a client session, I do a little dance. I do. I genuinely do. I'm like, yeah.
You don't know, great. Rub your hands. Chris rubs his hands together. What can we do? You fell into the trap of life.
Fell into my trap. I will have you now. Yeah, because I always know there's going to be a breakthrough at that point.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, never in the history of humanity meant that the person didn't have an answer to give.
Yeah.
And there's different variants of it, obviously. There's I don't know, I'm not sure. And you hear it all the time. I don't know what my niche is. I don't know what business I should go into. Yes, you do. What would you love to do day in, day out? Well, I'd love to fly. Go be a pilot.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, what would you love to do? It's fairly simple. What would give you great pleasure and joy in your life? Go do that. Find a way to monetize that.
Yeah.
Because there is a way, I guarantee you.
Oh my God, especially the way the world is now. I keep on saying this. There's so much opportunity out there to do. I think everyone's still thinking quite linear. Like if they do want to, like you said, learn how to, they like flying.
A lot of it, it's like relationships as well. It's the mentality of, this is where I always boil it down to this pain, fear focus versus the pleasure, joy focus. So many people are in the pain, fear, focus. It is ruining their lives.
Mm.
They are so focused on what if it goes wrong?
Yeah.
But what if I do the niche and people don't buy from me? Well, adapt.
Exactly.
Yeah. What if I do it and I find that I don't enjoy it? Is it what you want to do right now? Yes. Mm. Well, then go do it now.
Yeah.
In 10 years' time, you can change.
Mm.
You know, some of my favorite mentors have changed their scope of specialty like three or four times, and they're big changes. I'm not talking about little changes. I'm talking about big, massive, moving from health and well-being through to copywriting. Just these massive.
Why are you different?
Because at the time they wanted to do health and well-being, they did it. It made them happy until it didn't, and then you change. Same thing goes.
I think though that. And you probably are the same when you work with clients. A lot of people that come to me, they already know what they want to do, but they just cannot get over that first hurdle. So to us, I've always been like that since I've been very young. I've always tried something. If it didn't work, I'd never cared that it failed. I would just, and I don't really believe in failure. I believe about learning.
You found a way not to make a light bulb.
I would just find another way to make it. You just adapt. Yeah. So I think I'm trying to get into the mind of other people that don't think how we do, because some people will try something once and then if they fail, they can't.
Generally, it will come back to two things. The first one will be, what will people think of me? Now, that may not be all people.
Yeah.
It may be, what will these individuals, like the parent or the loved one?
Yeah.
With all the love in the world, says, don't do that because you'll fail. Oh, God, now I failed.
Mm.
I have to now go back to that person. And here, I was right.
Yeah.
They were right. The other one is much more internal. This is where I may, from time to time, make fun of positive affirmations.
Chris, I hope you don't do that because I
like to have fun with conventional norms of personal development and just throw them out the window if I disagree with them. Now, don't get me wrong. In some circumstances, positive affirmations can be very, very good. Mm. I'm getting better and better every day, you know, rather than having an absolute affirmation, which is I am beautiful and smart and amazing. Yeah. That was what I'd call an absolute affirmation. Being that it's absolute tosh. Because you wouldn't stand in the mirror and say, I am a strong, confident person. That your brain's like, you're not fooling anyone. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because there's what's known as a confirmational dissonance, where the mind knows why you're doing it. It's like, yeah, you're not fooling anyone here. So
yeah.
If you were strong and confident, you wouldn't have to look in the mirror saying you're strong and
confident. Say it. Yeah.
Yeah. You are fooling no one.
Mm.
Conversely, negative affirmations, that is negative self-talk, mm-hmm. that works surprisingly well, doesn't it?
Yes,
because there's no cognitive dissonance. There's no conflict in the mind. Same as if someone says something and it upsets you, it's because it's in you. If I'll give you an example, and people who are listening can play along.
Mm.
Think of something that you are absolutely certain of, like 200%. You are certain of this about yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to air it out loud if you don't want to, but. And this is for the listeners as well. You're absolutely certain of this. Mm. Yeah? Not a shred of doubt. It's got to be one of the top of the things in your mind. Okay. Now imagine someone who you like, respect, care for, comes to you and says, whatever it is, in massive conflict, you're rubbish at it, you're not worthy, you're not this, you're not that.
Mm.
That, whatever your belief is, it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all,
mm-hmm.
10 being absolute, I'm just going to change my life focus. You know, I'm just, clearly I was completely wrong and I'll now take on your life worldview and live by your paradigm. Whereabouts are you right now?
Oh, me?
Yeah, where would you be right now? You don't have to say what the thing, what it was, is, because I don't want to out make you out there or anything, but...
I felt of a really stupid example when you said, what are you? I hear my head is thinking I'm a mum.
That's fine.
That's a really bad example.
Okay, so think of something you're absolutely certain of about yourself.
Yeah. I think this could be a funny example. So I am a mum. If someone comes up to me, I don't know, that I really respect, like Richard Branson or someone, comes up to me, Vina, you're not a mum.
Yeah. It's like, or do you believe that you're a good mother?
Yes, I do believe I'm a very good mother.
Absolute certainty. I like that, and I can see it in your face. But I don't know if anyone can just listen to this on a podcast or can see a video of it, but I can see it in your face. You're absolutely certain of that. I love that. Okay. Richard Branson comes along and says, listen, I've seen mums. I've seen the whole scope of mums. And I got to say, you don't really measure up. Yeah?
Like, Richard, that's very rude of you to say that.
Potentially a less polite version. Right? Like, Richard, you can in fact shove that in a suitcase somewhere and put it away in a cupboard. You know,
see, you said the old Vina wouldn't have been at a one then. I would have gone right back to maybe, oh my God, maybe they are right. And I might have gone to number 8 or something.
There you go.
But now I'm more.
Here's the difference. I love that you brought that out.
Mm.
Because notice the difference.
Yeah.
The reason why you're so open to change your paradigm is the level of uncertainty that you currently feel. Imposter syndrome generally has people with uncertainty. That's people in brand new jobs, people who are brand new to business.
Right.
People who have got a level of uncertainty.
I get it now.
And haven't become comfortable with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
And haven't realized that there is no best way of doing things, because let's face it, marketers ruin everything anyway. And if there was a best way of doing it, the marketers would have done it so much that the people would have become annoyed with it, and you know, you have to change it and do something else, and something else would be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm going
so
really far.
I'm so happy that you've actually, because sometimes we talk about imposter syndrome, but just then you've actually nailed it. But what exactly this thing is people are feeling?
It's not a thing. It's imposter syndrome, perfectionism.
It's all just
It's not a thing. We've labelled it.
Did you hear that, everyone? It's not a thing.
It's the same with confidence. And I love giving this talk. I absolutely love giving this talk. Because the amount of people who will openly, it's like they're proud of it. Even though confidence itself, I don't believe is a thing.
Mm.
And it's funny, I did a workshop recently. I was like, confidence is a thing, or isn't a thing. It doesn't even exist. And I made this slight joke towards confidence coaches, and I didn't realize I had one in the audience. And the head just went, oh. I was like, ah, okay. So there's nothing wrong with being a confidence coach.
He's like, I should have seen who my attendee
was. That person's paradigm of life, yeah. But no, I was like, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with marketing yourself as a confidence
coach. Yeah.
If you're a confidence coach watching this, please don't swear at me. There's nothing wrong with marketing it because that's
what I was about to say, Chris, that tagline is I help you feel more confident on YouTube.
oddly enough, so is mine. In varying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people believe they want.
But confidence. I use it because people. I know people gravitate towards that word. So that's right. Why I
gravitate to it. Because they think, well, if I have, then I'll be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way people generally think. If I have, then I'll be able to. Entrepreneurs on the higher level tend to think the other way around. If I'll do it and it screws up, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll adapt. But it's like, if I have confidence, then I'll be confident. Mm. And they take great pleasure in telling people how non-confident they are. It's like, oh, you seem very confident about that. I'm not confident in any way. I'm just not a confident person. You have to understand, I'm just not a confident person. Oh, you seem confident about that.
I literally just got that. I was looking at you like, what is he trying to say here?
Oh, yeah. You're not that bad. So, and the thing that people tend to say is, I'm not confident, as it's some objective thing.
Mm.
Yeah. This ties in very closely to imposter syndrome. It's like, I'm not confident in the job. Well, I bet you are. Mm. Are you confident in your ability to use that computer that's in front of you or laptop?
Well,
yeah, I can use it. I'm not an expert, but I can use the basic functions.
Mm.
All right, fine. What more do you need? Well, maybe I need a bit more PowerPoint. Okay, well, can you learn that? Yes. Well, there you go. Are you confident that you could learn it? Either you have it or you could get it.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, can you be confident on the laptop now? Yes. Okay.
So it's really even trying to have that self-talk with you. If we don't have a Chris in our lives, it's really just have that self-talk of like, hold on, why am I at? Does it really boil to having that talk with yourself? Why do I actually feel like this? And what can I do to stop me
exactly
feeling like
the
this,
point we said right at the beginning. It's all about the mindfulness. So I say I love mindfulness cognitive therapies because it's all about knowing your thoughts, knowing how your thoughts tag in with your emotions and your beliefs, and being aware of them. Yeah. Don't be in conflict with them. A lot of people have two very bad strategies when it comes to their thought processes and their bad thoughts. They repress them because we all know how good that is. Oh, I just try not to think about it. Yeah, how's that working for you? I'm really nervous about this job interview. I'm trying not to think about it. Yeah, good luck with that. Because, put it this way, don't think about a pink cat.
Oh, then you think about a pink cat, don't you?
Because the mind can't not do before it does. Let me put that another way.
Mm.
You have to think of the cat in order for the mind to say, okay, now I know what not to think about.
Right.
So anyone having this, that's why I always say everything boils down to this pain and pleasure. Mm. If anyone having this fear, pain focus is constantly thinking in those terms, I can't think about the pink cat. Yeah. Oh, I really hope I don't get pink cat syndrome.
Chris, you just made up a new thing there.
Just made it up. That's it. It's going to be Psychology Weekly. Job done. As seen first on Vita V. So, yeah, you have to think of the thing in order to get rid of it. So if your mind's like, I do a lot of clarity work as well. I really should niche more. But it's like, I've done a lot of clarity work and it's like, I always ask the question, like, what do you have in your perfect day? It's one of my new programs, like Perfect Day Solution. What do you have in your perfect day? Let's just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
What's there and what does it look like?
Mm.
And invariably I'll get an answer at least half the time saying, well, I don't want to be in the office all the time and I don't want to have this pressure on my time and I don't want to feel trapped by my niche And I, yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's great. I didn't ask you what you don't want. I asked you what you do want. Because, oddly enough, if I put the world's greatest ice cream on one side of the room and a hungry tiger at the other, yeah, and you're in the room.
I love your analogies, Chris.
I love them too, because I make them up on the spot. I don't even know what's going to come next. We have a hungry tiger at the other end of the room. Remind me again about the tiger in the cage. That ties into imposter syndrome as well. Like, wouldn't you prefer a life where you're moving towards... Now, bearing in mind that the tiger can only step when you step, let's put that weird robotic limitation light. Wouldn't it be nicer if you start stepping away from the towards the ice cream?
Yeah.
You naturally get further from the tiger.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you naturally move away from this.
Oh my God. The universe is trying to tell you something, Chris.
You see, I moved towards the glass and the glass is no more. Which is an important metaphor for life. It's been on purpose, and is in no way a massive fail on my part.
Exactly. You just learnt. There's no such thing as failure, remember? So you just learn. Don't put glass.
I genuinely don't care. It's got one less glass in the house. Just got to make sure I tidy up for the kids. So it's just like, when you naturally move towards something, you naturally move away from something else.
Yeah.
So right now, my mind, even, and that works on your mind as well. So if my mind is, like, if I naturally focus on you, slowly but surely, I completely forget the glass. just smashed. I really like that glass as well.
Oh,
I could focus on the glass.
Now we're going back.
but at which case, then what happens? My focus is taken away from you, because I told you, your conscious mind is the loud idiot. It loves to shout, I can deal with this and that and that and that. And then you get all this stuff bubbling around your brain and you're analyzing lots of stuff and you're slowly going mad. Because it's really funny. So many people are like, oh, what have you done to help yourself in this situation? Well, I've thought about everything and I don't know why, I just feel worse.
I'm actually quite glad that your glass just broke, because it's quite a good analogy. Obviously now you're just moved on with your life.
Imagine if you had that same mentality to the relationship. You know, while I had that glass, it did the job I wanted it to do. Now it's not. Now it's not up to purpose. It's not what will bring me joy in my life.
Yeah.
Very difficult to drink from that. If you're watching it.
Like, if you're listening to this on iTunes,
wouldn't hold a couple of drops, right? Be careful. Right, don't play with glass. Boys and girls, don't play with glass. Right.
But that's it's really great what you just said, though. But unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that if that happened to them, the glass broke, they would now be focusing on that for the rest of their day.
If my mind was, what will people watching this or listening to this think of me? Then it's not really about me. And that's why I love to talk about the demands of people. There's a wonderful psychologist who coined a phrase, as Tony Robbins did, they should all over themselves. People should do this, should do that. They should all over themselves. There is an older version of that that sounds a lot dirtier. And it has the word must in it. They say they have masturbation. They must here and must there, and things must be this or must be that. And it's, and I love, especially if it's someone who's like a real people pleaser. I love people pleaser, because they're like, I think it's okay being a people pleaser because it's about helping other people. I was like, no, it's not actually. You're people pleasing, being an altruistic, lovely person, it's not just by choice. You're doing it because you want to.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That's great. Wouldn't steer anyone away from that. Mm. But when you're doing it with a demand attached,
yeah,
which is, and you can always test it, which is if you're nice to someone and the outcome isn't what you want, what would happen? If you're nice to someone because you want to be nice to them, yeah, then the outcome is fairly irrelevant.
As yeah,
you're being nice. Mm. That's it. Yeah. If the outcome is, oh, what if I'm nice to them and they don't like me, or they think I'm this, which I'm secretly afraid that I am, that's the negative affirmations, it goes in easier because you have a previous belief or thought process about it in the previous bit. What if I actually am? Yeah. That's why if someone says, you're stupid, if you in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm always worried if I'm smart enough or I'm capable enough. Yeah. And someone actually says it, someone has the audacity to say it, you kind of miss the fact that they're a bit of a douche for saying it.
Mm.
Yeah. You kind of miss the fact that really this isn't someone you should be listening to.
Yeah.
If they make their life about bringing you down. No confident person in the history of confident, we're going through so much here. People have to watch the replay.
They really are.
No confident person, someone who's truly confident, someone who has true strength, not force. No strong person needs to bring down anyone else.
Exactly. There's I want people to remember that, actually, because I think that's very important, what you just said.
There are two ways of becoming stronger. Oddly enough, becoming stronger, becoming taller, or you can chop off the head of the people around you, and then you'll feel taller. Truly strong, confident people wouldn't do that. So the only person who, unless it's constructive feedback or coming from a place of love, like the most common entrepreneurial complaint I get about naysayers is like family members.
Yeah,
it's really funny. It's like, oh, you wait until the hater isn't someone who loves you. wait until the hater doesn't want the best for you and is concerned that it may not work. And because what they're really saying is, if I was in your shoes, I may not be able to make it work.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what they're really saying. It's coming from a place of insecurity.
Yes.
It's not coming from a place of strength. Mm. People don't knock other people down from a place of strength. Not true strength.
Exactly. But this is so many people I talk to get so concerned of what that person down the road said to them. But who cares?
I love to use the two-year-old analogy. Mm. So you remember what I said about the person with who you admire, who has an authority, and they say something that is in conflict with a previous strongly held belief you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say, now I'd like you to think about something. You don't have to say this one. Think about something that you're maybe potentially have a little bit of doubt about, a little bit of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See the same. Notice how the uncertainty goes up. It's like the all shit moment.
It's like, oh, hold on. I'm thinking about that now.
Yeah. Like, oh, damn. Stuff's about to go down. Let's get a person of authority on the subject. Comes and tells you you're not doing it the way you should be doing it.
Yeah.
Initial thought process would be,
I'll be like, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not doing it the right way. Go with
your authority. Right. Yeah. Okay. What if, think about that thing. For some people, it could be as simple as being overweight, not being the precise body image, not being smart enough, good enough, adaptable enough, whatever the enough is.
Yeah.
Now I'd like you to imagine that you've just gone round to a friend's house and they've gone out to make the tea and they've left their two-year-old child, maybe three-year-old child, in the room with you.
Mm.
And the two- or three-year-old looks up at you and says, you're not that enough. And they give you the fear. Same one you got from the person with the authority. You're fat. Why are you so fat? Why are you ugly? Why will you never be loved and will live in a house full of cats for the rest of your life? I'm like, wow, this is a very articulate child. But imagine that same child saying, yeah. Mm. Notice how much authority that, but notice that the difference. It's like, rather than.
It's completely different, isn't it? Because you're like, oh, you're a child. What do you
know? What do you know? Yeah. Like, what do you know?
Yeah.
So many people believe that someone else can be an expert on their life.
Yes. Yeah.
Even your mother, father, partner, who spends the most amount of time with you, still isn't in your head and around you 24/7. The only person who's around you 24/7 is you. And that's another reason why you're your own worst critic, because you see everything.
Yeah.
You get every thought. They only see like the stuff that's being put out.
Yeah.
And invariably, it's a lot better than what you think it is.
Mm.
Yeah. So I love this. I've done this exercise with people with serious anxiety. And they're like, I'm really anxious what they'll think of me. I was like, well, let's look at that. I hope this is PG rated because I've used the S bomb a little bit. So let's say, I was like, well, let's put your poo, I'm trying to keep it low. Let's put your poo tinted glasses on as opposed to the rose tinted glasses.
Right, okay.
Let's put your poo tinted glasses on. Rather than seeing the best of a situation, let's look at the worst. Mm-hmm. A lot of people's difficulties come from they get to that thing they feel uncomfortable with and then they back off.
Yeah.
They don't like to think about it. They say the I don't know. Oh, I don't know what's holding me back. Mm. Well, grow a spine and look into it. You know, get into it. Because what you'll find out is the old parable of the shadow monster who casts the massive shadow over the village until one day the little boy climbs the mountain and sees that it's this little Furby, you know, that just happens to be next to the fire. I love using imagery in my metaphors.
But it's so good because it makes you think, especially people listening to this rather than watching this interview, it actually makes them think about what you're saying.
Yeah, well, this is what I love doing. I love telling stories. I'm a storyteller, really. So think of a time where you've stood up to a fear, any fear.
Yeah.
Did it get worse or better?
It got, better because you did it.
Yeah. Initially, you get what's known as the fear spike. This is in exposure therapy, where you put, you know, someone with a cap. Because you can't be scared. I learned this one in Iraq when I was in the military. You can't actually keep up a state of fear. The body acclimatizes.
Yes.
So now I learned that before I ever learned like psychology. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, these mortars are coming in one night and the rockets are landing around.
Wow.
Not ultra close. I'm not going to try and pretend I was like really in the trenches.
We've got an image of the Chris now. Oh my god, he was on the front line.
But like bombs going off. Yeah, keep the image. Hero's a strong word, but you know, I don't mind it. Initially in the first month, you're like, oh, what happens if one of these lands on me? Oh my god, what would happen? Anxiety, right? Fear of an unknown consequence, fear of something happening and you can't deal with it. That's all anxiety is, by the way. Fear that something may or may not happen, and if it happens, I may or may not be able to deal with it. In its raw essence, that is all anxiety is.
It's so crazy. All this stuff we've talked about,
really,
like you said, everyone, I don't think it's a human thing, isn't it? We complicate every single thing, but when you look at the essence, everything's actually quite simple.
I love to joke that I'm just really lazy.
I
embrace my guyhood. What is the simplest possible way that I can boil this down to it? Like pain and pleasure is basically the lowest I've got so far, but I'm sure I can get a couple of layers deeper.
What I'm going to ask you is, we have gone way over our time, but I just find this so interesting. So hopefully we could get you again on the podcast. And I really hope that this would have helped people, because we've never had this amount of insight. We've never had this amount of analogies. You know, is this, everyone's going crazy here. Everyone's probably like thinking things, but I'm going to chop up certain things you've said actually and put it over on the Mum to Millionaire YouTube channel. Mm. But finally, what is that last bit of advice? Because say if someone's listened to this whole podcast or watched this whole YouTube video, and like that, you know, now they're going to get out of their house. They're like, yes, I'm not going to feel whatever it is anymore. I'm going to get out there and do it. But what would you say to them? To the first thing to actually try and really address? Because obviously, if they've been in this mindset for 10 years now, it's not going to change just like that. I mean, what is the first step, I suppose, going back to the beginning?
I love how you worded that last little bit. And in fact, in the back of my mind, I was like, I can't wait for this because I'm just going to joke that I've already given you everything I know now. That's it. I've
ended. There's no more to say.
I'm done. I'm off. But no, I love how you put that as well, because that's a big thing. I've had this problem for as long as I can remember, 4 years, for as long. I've got this massive problem. See how we label
build
this
up, stuff yeah.
and make it worse? And it's really our labels. We're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think you use the word something like people who have had a problem for a long time, they can't just poof and get rid of it.
Yeah, because I know you're probably going to conflict me here and see if they can.
I absolutely am. Yes, absolutely right. In fact, it's usually the belief that you need a really complicated answer in order to solve your really bad problem.
Mm.
The base, where I'd say start, is not so much throw out everything you know and just throw out your world view and start from scratch, which is, by the way, impossible. For anyone who's ever scared of going back to square one, I love doing little bits. Scared of going back to square one? Physically impossible. Can't do it. Unless you have a memory wipe.
Yes.
Even if you went back to the exact same starting position after something happens, you have the lesson.
Exactly.
You literally can't go back to square one.
Yeah.
It's completely impossible. Mm. Useless thing to say. But no, the thing I would say is to... Okay, big thought. Doubt what you think you know. Just doubt it. Allow yourself the uncertainty of doubting what you think you know. If you've lived your whole life thinking, I've got this big problem, this big thing, and people need to treat me in a certain way, and if they don't treat me, it must mean that I am this and I am that, and I grew up and my parents... I love how everyone blames their parents for everything.
My parents did this for me.
It's like you could meet the world's perfect parents.
Yeah.
It's virtually impossible not to screw up a kid. This is what I've learned. It's virtually impossible. I see all these parents. In fact, this is a parenting podcast, so I'll add this I get loads of these. It's like, oh, but what if I make a mistake? Well, let's look into that, shall we?
One day my mum said to me
that... Yeah. It's like, well, if you're really protective and you dote on them, then they become spoiled. If you back off, then they resent you for not being in their life. If you push loads of independence on them, well, then you weren't there as a dependable figure, and you made it all about they had to be in control at all times. And if you... It's virtually impossible not to screw up a kid.
Yeah.
Because we're people, we're humans. Not to say that the parent is infallible, but we're people.
Mm.
If your mindset is focused on that pain, that fear, that blame in this case of, well, what if, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? My parents did this. I'm this way because of them. No. Yeah. Doubt what you think you know.
Because
people ask me, and I saw another post today about this, which was, if you could go back and change something in your life, what would it be? And my mindset is very different, because there's like 130 or plus responses to this.
Mm.
And I was like, how can you respond in any other way than I wouldn't change a damn thing?
Exactly. But people were writing what they...
Because every mistake you've made, in quotes, every mistake you've made has given you a lesson.
Mm.
And if you hadn't made that mistake, and here's the cruncher, if you hadn't made that mistake, then later on you would make that mistake.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way things go.
Yeah.
A lot of people cheat on their partners until they're cheated on, and then they're like, "Oh, never cheat again." So well, there you go. So even the negative things that we do, the negative things that happen to us, like I say, that's acceptance without condoning. You don't have to say it was, you know, it's good that it happened. But I can't look back, and maybe on a future one we'll go into some of my background, but I don't blame anyone for my background. I joined the army at 16 years old, and it wasn't a culture shock, put it that way. Yeah.
Wow.
It was just like, in fact, I'm pretty sure I did tell a corporal, 16 years old, to a 10, 12 year corporal in the infantry, my mother shouts louder than you do.
Wow.
So don't get me wrong, my mother's the most wonderful, loving person in the world.
Yeah.
But it's like, they all generally, if I really looked under a microscope, they all made their mistakes. Mm. They all did. And to be fair, I wouldn't really need a microscope. But they're people.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in your adult life, you look back and go, you know what? They're people. They made mistakes.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, them now being older would usually look back on their own life and go, I could have done that better, and I'm really sorry I didn't.
Mm.
Yeah. And this always comes into the parents' lot as well. These parents double-guessing themselves. Well, what if my child thinks this of me? Well, who cares? Your job as a parent is to prepare.
My son tells he hates me all the time. So
it's a standing joke with my daughter.
Exactly. Like, they go, love you. I hate you. Yeah. I love you. And I'm like, what? Do you hate me?
Okay. I hate you. Don't leave me.
Exactly. I'm like, well, move out then if you don't need me anymore.
It's amazing how many adults live in that kind of mindset as well.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the world and everything in it. Love me, please. Want me. Please want me.
Chris, I think you're fantastic. Like I said, I love everything that you said, and I really hope people really actually even go back and listen to this podcast again to really understand all the different stuff you said, because I really believe that as well. You know, sometimes when you want to change certain things, obviously I'm not trained like you are at all, but I really believe in, you know, when you keep on hearing different things said to you, you can start seeing things in a different way. So,
yeah. And for anyone listening, that wasn't a sound effect. I did break a glass.
Yeah, he did. If you're
I talk with my hand, so I'm waving my arms around. For those who
I do urge you, if you're listening to this podcast, search Mum to Millionaire on YouTube, and you can see Chris's amazing background, and you can see him breaking that glass as well. But Chris, where can we find out more about you?
So probably the easiest way is either my Facebook page,
yep.
Or Facebook group. So Truly Empowered, mm-hmm. which at the moment is women only, Truly Empowered, or my website, which is my hypnocoach, one word, myhypnocoach.co.uk.
That is fantastic.
And everything's on there. My favorite page being freebies.
Oh, we all have a bit of a freebie.
Freebies and like £6 this and £7
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
They're all on there. So it's like freebies and minor charges.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I think you're brilliant. And hopefully we'll get you back on the podcast to talk more about your life. But this has been so insightful. All of Chris's links will be over on the blog post, mumtomillionaire.com. So make sure you check that out. And we will see you really soon, Chris. Give your daughters a big hug from us.
I will squeeze them until they asphyxiate. No, I will squeeze them until they recognize they are loved.
Yes, exactly. There we go. Take care.
Mumtomillionaire.com.
Wow, wasn't that so just, what is your mind blown now? My mind is a bit like buzzing right now, loving everything that Chris said in there. Wow. I'm going to keep this short and sweet because there's nothing more to say. I want you to digest the information. Keep listening back to this episode. Go over to the Mum to Millionaire YouTube channel because I'm going to cut up some of this stuff. I know sometimes if it's a long podcast, you'll miss things. You might need to re-listen back. So what I'm going to do is cut up some of these things into kind of maybe 2 or 3 minute sections and label them so you can go back and really listen to what Chris is saying and really start changing your life, because You've got the power, hashtag parent power. You've got the power to change your life. You really do. There's no excuses to this. You are here to write your own story. You have the pen in your hand. I'm trying to think of some poetic things, but I can't because my mind is still blown from this. But yeah, go over to YouTube channel, just type in Mum to Millionaire. But that concludes dad season. And I have decided that I'm going to get loads more dads on this podcast because I think it's only fair. It's just great to be supporting dads as well. And I love everything for mums out there. And this is why I started Mum to Millionaire, to really support the mums. But I have realised that dads, they're the same as us. we're the same. I'm going to say it again and you're going to get annoyed, but hashtag parent power. We are in this together. Let's be kind to each other, support each other. That is what it's all about. And if you're feeling a bit, you're still like, I just want to be happy and positive, you can go over to mumtomillionaire.com/motivation. And I've got a nice little audio book, an audio course for you there. You can download it on your phone, download it on your computer. And it's really just my techniques of what I do to stay happy and positive every day. Like many of us, I have been through a hell of a lot in my life, like domestic abuse, postnatal depression, suicidal thoughts, and a lot of other stuff. And I've come out of it. And so can you. If you're going through something right now, you really can get through it. There is light. Even in the darkness, there is light. You just got to find it. mumtomillionaire.com/motivation to get your hands on. I don't know why people say that. To get your hands on. Because you can't get your hand on it. It's a downloadable product. Anyway, I'm waffling. Just check out the website link and I will see you next week right here on the Mum to Millionaire podcast.